Welcome to AMDA on the Hill, your opportunity to keep up with the latest policy and advocacy news from the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. AMDA on the Hill is produced in association with AMDA on the Go and available on the same podcast channel. Support for this podcast is brought to you by U.S. Post-Acute Care. And now here is your host for AMDA on the Hill, Alex Bardock.
Hello and welcome to AMDA on the Hill, your periodic updates for AMDA's public policy and advocacy activities. My name is Alex Bardock and I'm the Director of Policy and Advocacy here at AMDA. As usual, I just wanted to give you a few updates on what's been going on in our policy and advocacy world. As typical in 2020, we'll start with the COVID vaccine. So over the last month or so, the conversation around COVID has begun to shift into vaccines. AMDA has been at the forefront of discussions with both CMS and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in terms of the dissemination of a potential vaccine. Just recently, CMS had put out an announcement that they have reached a deal with two major pharmacies in the country, CVS and Walgreens, in terms of disseminating the vaccine to nursing facilities to vaccinate both staff and residents. This has been a discussion for quite a while. AMDA has been in constant conversation. We of course have some concerns about how all of this is going to play out. We continue to work with our partners such as the American Society for Consultant Pharmacists, National Association for the Supports of Long-Term Care, to discuss how to best approach disseminating a vaccine when indeed it comes out. Other issues that have come up, of course, around the vaccine is the efficacy and the fact that majority of the trials that are currently ongoing have not tested the vaccine on a population older than 65, and certainly not the population that is in the nursing facilities. So that's something that is troublesome, but I think we're going to continue to work with both the organizations CMS and CDC to see how we can figure out a path forward. But clearly, this is a hot topic right now, and you should be preparing and hearing from your states, and probably be in touch with your departments of health and your local pharmacies to figure out a path forward when indeed we do have some light at the end of the tunnel in terms of vaccine. It's still, we at AMDA are approaching this as a long-term issue that's going to persist in nursing facilities. We continue to be vigilant in terms of the PPE issues. We continue to have conversations around the testing that's out there. Obviously, by now, hopefully everybody has those rapid antigen test kits. We have gotten reports of false positives, both residents and staff that work in facilities. There are concerns that nursing facilities currently are understaffed because if you're receiving false positives, it's unclear how you're supposed to be dealing with them. I know CDC has continued to monitor the issue, but I think both residents and staff need to understand what these tests are, the difference between antigen tests and PCR tests. It seems to be a lack of understanding in general in the public, and probably the same is true of healthcare personnel. We do hear a lot of states that are foregoing a lot of the rapid tests and are simply working with PCR testing. And are working with their labs, and hopefully the labs have a shorter turnaround time and have prioritized tests that you all are submitting, because obviously that is one of the key features of trying to control the virus. As we hear that there are spikes around the country, it's certainly not great news in terms of nursing homes. There was just a report out of Kansas where every single resident had COVID. So we continue to be extraordinarily vigilant. In addition to that, CMS and CDC are going to be putting out more guidance in terms of the reporting requirements. There are some new reporting requirements around lab results. You have to be reporting the test results. And I know that currently there's a voluntary feature you could do so to do it to NHSN. Likely that's going to change. It's going to become mandatory, but it's going to make it easier in terms of the fields that you're inputting. And one of the things that we have stated with both CDC and CMS is our concerns for duplicative reporting. Clearly, there's not enough time in the day or staff to spend to simply be reporting for both local, state, and the federal government. So we are very aware of the challenges that you all face in terms of trying to report on all of the different requirements and how confusing that could be. Certainly, if you have questions, if you have challenges, please let us know. We continue to utilize our forum for this reason, and feel free to email us as well. I think those are the major things in terms of just the pure regulatory updates on COVID. But of course, as you all know, we are now in the middle of an election year, and COVID has become as much of a political issue as anything else. Congress and continues to work on a package, another relief package. You all probably have heard this from the lay press. But AMDA, of course, is very involved in speaking with the relevant offices on Capitol Hill as to figure out what the chances of our proposal actually coming to the floor would be. But, you know, our main concern is that everything we've talked about before, that is the continued need for support for nursing facilities in terms of PPE, in terms of ongoing conversations within states and strike forces or however it's set up to have geriatricians and medical directors and really clinical experts in post-acute long-term care at the table of these discussions is extremely important. There are bills coming out of the Senate Aging Committee. Senator Casey has introduced legislation that AMDA is supportive of. There are other pieces of legislation that are out there, and you know, we support a lot of the different provisions. And we continue to monitor the situation. If anything actually breaks, we will, of course, be issuing more guidance on what all these different legislative pieces look like. Moving on from COVID a little bit into a different issue that I've talked about in the past, and that is the cuts that were proposed in the physician fee schedule proposed rule that came out in August. AMDA has now submitted its comments to CMS. They were due in early October. We also worked with our partners at the American Geriatric Society, American Academy, American College of Physicians, American Psychiatric Association, and the American Academy of Geriatric Psychiatrists to submit a joint letter to CMS asking for some technical changes that would essentially result in not having those cuts implemented. Likewise, we have worked with Capitol Hill on a number of letters. We've worked with our cognitive specialty partners across the House of Medicine to ask that they essentially take action to ensure that no cuts to nursing facility assisted living or home health go into effect. Clearly, such a cut of 8 to 10% that I've mentioned before to Medicare reimbursement at a time of COVID would be devastating. It would lead to access of care issues. It would lead to rehospitalizations and ultimately unnecessary deaths that we certainly don't want to see happen. So this is an issue that we'll keep monitoring. This is an issue that we ask you all to get involved. We have our grassroots activated. You should have received an email asking you to contact your members of Congress to tell them your story, how such a cut would impact your practice, your patients, your residents, and you know, to let them know that they need to take action immediately. We anticipate that CMS will issue a final rule on this issue sometime in early December. Congress, on its own right, is, as I mentioned, is continuing to work on a COVID package, but they also have to have a continuing resolution or a budget that should happen in mid-December. So by all intents and purposes, probably this issue in terms of congressional action could take a well into December, if not up until the last minute, which has happened before. So we continue to be very vigilant on this. We continue to talk to Capitol Hill and CMS. I wanted you all to know that we are very active on this. And you know, if you'd like to get involved, please let us know. I think those are the major updates for now. Again, thank you all for what you continue to do. This has been a tough year. We're now entering sort of the last stages of the year, believe it or not. Hopefully we can finish on a good note. Hopefully we do have some good news on the vaccine front, and there are some plans for equitable and safe distribution, and we can move into next year with a little bit better news. But we hope to continue to advocate on your behalf and continue to make your life easier. As always, please reach out to me or AMDA and let us know if you have any questions, concerns, or would like to get involved. Thank you very much.
Delivering true excellence in post-acute medicine requires more investment, resources, and infrastructure than ever before. U.S. Post-Acute Care, a physician-led practice group, has built a business model dedicated to providing high-quality post-acute patient care on a national scale. We make it easy and beneficial for regional practices to leverage our resources to drive the growth and quality of their practices. Visit our website at uspostacutecare.com to see for yourself. Together, we'll be stronger. References from this podcast can be found at paltc.org/policy.